Yeah, I think it gives me a lot of confidence. Coming from last year, I've had a spectacular year, and I kind of want to just take that momentum going into this year. Even though I'm young, I have the experience from last year, and I just got to think of it, even though it's my first Olympics, that, you know, it's the same track, it's the same distance, and I just got to go out there and compete to the best of my ability. You know, I feel like I'm coming into top form now. I'm starting to get back into shape, build my rhythm. So it's definitely going to be a fun ride, and I'm looking forward to it.
What about having the moniker fastest Canadian? You look at guys like Donovan Bailey, and really Donovan Bailey, because of the 1996 Olympics, it's 20 years later, and he's like a national treasure, just as much as hockey players are in Canada. How important or excited are you about the potential of what the Olympics can provide for you long term?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I try not to think about it too much because, you know, I think when you think about it too much, that's when the pressure starts coming and, you know, you don't perform the way you wanted to perform. So I kind of just have the same mentality and think about it like last year. You know, I did well, even though there's a lot more commitments now and a lot more at stake and there's a lot of risk taking. I kind of just want to go into think of it like last year and, you know, just perform well. You know, I'm going to run probably 6 races, you know, I guess the 6 best races of my life, you know, that's what I think of it. Even though I think I have 2 more Olympics, I don't want to wait until 2020 or 2024. I want to do it now, and I feel like I have the, you know, I'm capable of from doing it.
Andre DeGrasse joins us now. Doing all of those races, is it a juggling act as far as balancing to ensure that you're fresh all the time? And how much different of a challenge is that compared to other competitions that you've been in?
Yeah, it's a big challenge. You know, coming off last year, I used to race so much. So I always knew that when I came to these meets, like the Pan Am Games, the World Championship, I knew I was in like the best shape ever, you know, so I knew I had nothing to be worried about. But now, you know, coming into this year, being a professional athlete, it's a totally different, where you go to meets and you run one race and then you go home. So there's not like rounds to get you ready. You know, coming off of 50 races last year and then now only running about 10 races, it's totally different shock to my body. So coming off even the Canadian Olympic Trials Championships, I was a little bit, you know, banged up a little because I'm not used to running 4 races in 2 days, but I'm happy I got that experience now. So when I get to Rio, I'm going to be running every single day. I'll be ready for it.
Andre DeGrasse joins us. And speaking of the Canadian Championships, the overall talent pool in our country now, that was the best pool we've ever seen. How important is that to you to be the face of the generation where Canada is now legitimately competitive in a lot of different track and field events?
Yeah, you know, it's an honor to be put in that position, but I also feel that, you know, everyone can go out there and, you know, medal or make the finals. We have about, I think, 8 guys that are medal contenders. Canada hasn't had that for a long, long time. And I feel like if everyone just, you know, is physically fit, they're mentally prepared, you know, it's going to be a shock. You know, I think a lot of people are going to be in shock at how well we do. So for me, I have 3 opportunities to medal, and I'm just looking forward to that opportunity to go out there and make the finals and, you know, try to make that podium again. But as for the other guys, I know they have the same mentality, and they know they can get on the podium because they have that same confidence from last year. So it's going to be fun for a lot of us, even though it's going to be our first Olympics.
Now, the simple basics of the 1 and the 200 would be, hey, run as fast as you can. You know, guy like me, that's what I'm thinking. But obviously the turn is a big difference from the 2 to the 100. What other small technical differences are there between those 2 races?
Well, it's a lot, because when you run the 200, you got to execute the bend part. You got to execute the first part of the race and then execute the bend part and make sure you come off the bend, you know, very well. But as in the 100, there's different stages of the race where you come out the blocks, you try to hit that speed from 30 to 60 and then try to hold down because you're not really going any faster. So it's a lot of technical aspects to it. I'm still learning about it as well. I feel like I mastered it more in the 200, but I'm still trying to get used to it in the 100. But today I feel like, or this weekend, I'm going to work on it, my 200 meters as well, and then for next week, I'm going to work on the 100. And those will probably be my last 2 races of the year heading towards Rio.
So you think you're actually more technically mastered at the 200 than you are at the 1, even though you've had more success at the 100 meters. So that's got to be very positive then, thinking, well, I got a lot of room to go and grow still in my 100.
Yeah, you know, one of my goals is to break the, you know, Donovan's and Bruni's Canadian record in 984. And I feel like once I start mastering the 100, you know, that can happen. You know, they believe that I can do it. A lot of people believe in me, so I just have to have the confidence and, you know, just go out there and compete to my ability that I know I can.
Canada's fastest man, Anuja Grass, joins us. Donovan Bailey, I ran into him in a restaurant this weekend on Saturday after the, you know, the race, and I just asked him about, you know, you and the whole sport, and he compared you to Frankie Fredericks, just in stature aside, because you're kind of a smaller guy, really, in track and field. Then you look at a guy like Usain Bolt, who's, you know, huge at 6'6". How are you able to generate such speed at 5'9", compared to a guy who's 6'4"? And how different do you feel that, you know, your technique has to be to the taller guys?
Yeah, I feel like me as a shorter guy, I have a shorter stride, and, you know, compared to the taller guy, so I know I got to be technically sound. I got to be able to come out the blocks and, you know, have the strength and power to push out and just be able to hold that speed. You know, my coaches have said that I'm very elastic, and if I can hold that speed, you know, good things could happen. So for me, I have a disadvantage a little bit, but I don't put that against me. I feel like I can still go out there and, you know, beat the guys that are taller, and, you know, even though I'm not the actual sprinter prototype.
Well, you've definitely had a lot of success with it. Anytime you're on the podium, the world championships, height obviously doesn't matter. When did you realize as a young kid that, you know, I can, because we're all fast, we think we're fast when you're winning your junior high track meet, but when did it start to dawn on you that if I commit myself to this, I can be a guy who goes, you know, sub 9.9, et cetera?
I think it probably hit me last year, you know, me hitting that stage, the NCAA Division I, and just having the coaches that saying that you have the potential to do this. You know, you have the potential to go under sub 10, sub 20. All you need to do is work hard, you know, be smart, take care of your body. And I just took that advice. And, you know, eventually it happened in May, and I was just so happy. I was excited that I finally broke through that barrier. So now it's not, now that I've done that, I don't want to settle and I don't want to be satisfied. I want to, you know, push my body to the limit and see how fast I really can go.
Do you have a number in mind? Like, I know you mentioned you want to go 9.84 and set the new Canadian record, but is there a number that is the ultimate goal, whether it's 4 or 5 years down the road as you continue to evolve and improve as a 100 meter?
I don't think so, because I feel like if you try to do that and, you know, set a number on yourself, then there's going to be restrictions, and it's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to do it. So for me, most of the times when I actually run, and I run a time, it's something that I probably didn't even imagine I could have ran. Like, I'll say I set a goal for myself this meet, I want to run 10.0, and then all of a sudden I run 9.95. So it's kind of a weird feeling, but that's what's so good about it. You know, for me to come out there and perform and execute my race, it's just mind-blowing every time you look at that clock and say, man, I can't believe I did it.
What's unique about track and field is you were there on the podium at the World Championships, but you weren't considered a pro athlete, that you were still an amateur. How is this year the transition to pro? What's the biggest challenge coming from amateur to pro, even though you've already raced the best in the world?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge was probably less races, more training, because I'm not used to training as much. I'm used to, you know, going out every weekend, flying out, you know, able to build my rhythm, get my speed back as quickly as possible. Whereas now you can't really tell as much because you're training every day and you race maybe once every 2-3 weeks. So you never know what's going to happen. And then there's not as much rounds to prepare yourself to get that speed back. So for me, that's why I like the Canadian Championship. I like the schedule. It was 2 races in 1 day. So that kind of helped me to get my fitness back and get back into shape and build my rhythm.
Can you ever go as fast in practice as you do on race day?
No, definitely not. My coach says that some days I'm running as fast as I can, even like as I would go into the meet, but I feel like sometimes it's not possible, and, you know, to be able to run that fast in practice and then run in the meet. Or if you do, sometimes it doesn't go as well because you put too much energy into practice and then you go into the meet and you don't run as fast. So it's really difficult. So I kind of just try to manage that and, you know, have a balance on how I train and make sure I'm always taking care of my body before I try to go out there and, you know, run and try to exert all my energy into practice and not into the meet.
Obviously, you're a great athlete. When you look at track and field, outside of the one and the two, is there another event that you'd be like, man, if I could change now, that's the event I'd want to do?
I think I would want to try the long jump. I always thought about that, a field event, you know, because I have the speed. You know, I played basketball, so I can, you know, I can jump, I can dunk. So I always thought about, you know, maybe trying the long jump. And I also enjoy watching the long jump as well. So for me, I always like thought maybe I can go over 8 meters one day. So I think maybe when I'm done my career or close to finishing my career, maybe I'll try it a couple of times.
And Andre, one last one for you. Growing up in Canada, you know, outside of Donovan Bailey, you know, Bruni Sir, and I, were those your heroes, or were there other guys that you looked up to and said, I can do that?
Well, for me, because I started track so late, I looked up to like basketball players, so I always liked Allen Iverson, you know, Vince Carter for the Toronto Raptors. So, you know, those were guys that I kind of looked up to and said, you know, I kind of want to be in the NBA with you know, with these guys someday maybe. So now that I see Donovan and see Bruni, you know, they're great guys, they're great characters, they have great personalities. So I'm starting to look up to them now as I got into track, because you know, not every day you could see someone that could run 9.84 and, you know, yeah, be an Olympic champion. Not every day you get to see that and be in that type of presence, and that's something I'm looking forward to be in that position. So I'm starting to look up to those guys as well.
Well, Andre, thanks for your time. Best of luck this weekend, and more importantly, best of luck at Rio. We hope to see you on the podium a few times.
Thank you. Appreciate it.